Pledge of Allegiance. Len, would you do that for me, please?
Face the flag. But I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Quick announcement. If everyone would either turn their cell phone off or put it on vibrate, it would be appreciated. Thank you. Suzanne, could we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Chairperson Jack?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Moreno?
Here.
Commissioner Bentz?
Present.
Commissioner Colomarino?
Present.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Here.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
All present.
Thank you. Could I have a motion to approve the agenda, please?
Move approval.
Second.
Roll call, please, Suzanne.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
Commissioner Bentz?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Colomarino?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you. Now, the next portion of the agenda is for public comment. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons wishing to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda and over which the commission has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Is there anyone that cares to approach the lectern? Seeing none, bring it back to the commission. Planning Commission business. Anyone have anything in particular?
Yes. I'd like to kind of read something, and I think it's really important for us to think about this every time we meet. The City of Atascadero is committed to building community by fostering an outstanding quality of life with excellent public service, stewardship of the environment, preservation of our heritage, and promotion of our
goals for the commission. Consent calendar. Does anyone wish to pull anything? Is there any member of the public that wants to pull an item from the consent calendar? Seeing none, could I have a motion?
Move approval for the consent calendar, items 1 and 2.
I'll second the motion.
Suzanne?
Who seconded?
Commissioner Schmidt.
Thank you. Commissioner Bentz?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
Commissioner Colomarino?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you. Community development, there is no report tonight, so we'll move on to the public hearing portion of it. And what I'd like to do is move from my left to the right with disclosure of ex parte communications relative to the Dove Creek item.
I have none.
I visited the site and I've spoken with two different residents.
Thank you.
I received 3 emails, one from Morgan and Jesse Terrell, outlining their concerns with the Dove Creek development. One from William P. White, who is the president of the Atascadero Professional Firefighters, indicating the firefighter support for the tractor supply company. And one from Caleb Davis, who is the president of the Atascadero Police Officers Association, showing their support for the tractor supply company.
Thank you. I, too, received copies of those emails from all 3 parties. I have been to the site on a couple of occasions. not talking to anyone specifically there. I have talked to one of the owners in the past prior to the workshop or just leaving a message, but nothing else.
I've visited the site, received the emails, but had no direct correspondence.
Oh, I have none.
I have visited the site several times. I also received an email dated 5th of February from...
...to the PD-12 overlay language and a master plan of development amendment, which is their conditional use permit for the site. So the project is located specifically at the corner of El Camino Real and Santa Barbara Road. It's a master planned commercial shopping center in addition to 279 residential units, which about half of which are currently constructed. So a little bit of background on the project. The project was approved, Dove Creek in total, by the City Council on September 14th, 2004. It did approve 279 residential units and 60,000 square feet of commercial. At that meeting, the mitigated negative declaration was certified for the project. The master plan of development was approved for both the residential and the commercial portions of the project. And there was a zone text change to establish plan development overlay number 12, which is the zoning district which overlays the entire Dove Creek development and controls the development there. And there was also a tract map that was approved. Construction began in approximately 2005. About half of the residential units are complete, a little bit more than half. Tractor Supply Company filed their application to amend the master plan, which we'll talk about in a minute, and change some of the code text that currently exists in PD-12. On January 28th of this year, we did hold a neighborhood meeting for information for the residents of Dove Creek, which was well attended. And I believe that the Homeowners Association letter after that meeting and Dove Creek's response to that, the Tractor Supply Company's response to that letter was included in your packets. So again, this is just kind of an overall visual concept for the Dove Creek development. It was divided into a number of residential villages with open space corridors throughout the development. This is the neighborhood commercial center in this location here that was proposed as part of Dove Creek. So part of tonight's amendment, the Tractor Supply Company is proposing an approximately 19,000 square foot store with an associated 20,000 square foot outdoor sales area. They're making modifications to pads A and B, which are the major tenant pads for the commercial development in terms of the footprint to show that outdoor sales area. And they've refined the architecture for the minor tenants as well. So these are two site plans. This one over here shows what was approved and choosing a text amendment to the PD-12 overlay zone. Currently, the PD-12 has a list of allowed uses for specifically for the Dove Creek commercial site. In that list of allowed uses is farm supply and equipment, businesses, and currently there's an indoor-only restriction on that use. And so the applicants are proposing to eliminate that indoor-only restriction to allow the outdoor sales area. So this is the originally approved Dove Creek architecture for the major tenant pad, and this shows the currently proposed Tractor Supply Company business and their outdoor sales area. So as you can see, architecturally, they are still using the same materials as the original center was designed to use, the same column styles, some trellis features have been incorporated, and their outdoor sales screen trellis fencing includes a number of decorative features to match the architecture of the center. At the neighborhood meeting, one of the major concerns was the visual impact of the outdoor sales area. I believe in your plan set packet, there were a number of site analysis sections that were included for your review. And these are just a couple of those. I believe there are two more in your packet as well. So this shows a section through the residential units, what a person standing on the second floor of those units might see. This is their yard area over here, some of the parking areas that are in between, and Cashin Street, which is in between that. So the applicant does believe that the screening that they've proposed will adequately screen the area from adjacent residential units. And then this is it's just an overview of the architecture that's been refined for the minor tenant spaces. It's comparable in materials to the Tractor Supply, and the Tractor Supply is comparable to these materials. A variety of stucco stylized columns, wood siding, and a bracketed gable features. The landscape plan is kind of conceptual, and it was designed to be consistent with the existing Dove Creek landscaping, which we have a fairly extensive landscape palette approved on. And so they would be expanding on that. Staff did add a couple conditions where screening landscaping is required, that those be evergreen trees and shrubs to help with the screening of the commercial center. Another concern with the neighborhood, the site be designed to accommodate regular spaces rather than compact spaces, and that could act as an overflow for those types of trucks with trailers that might need some larger parking spaces. In terms of the site plan, the applicant has also refined some of the outdoor spaces that are adjacent to some of the minor tenant pads to allow for outdoor eating and make them more attractive to restaurant-type uses. The rest of the site plan stayed the same, so the access points, the other building footprints all remain the same. There were also some concerns from staff as well as the residents about what might be displayed in their outdoor sidewalk display areas that are in front of the store and the outdoor sales area. Staff had some concerns about that as well, and so we did add a condition to limit where the large items would be displayed, which would be maybe the ride-on lawnmowers or things of that nature, so that they were limited to sort of the larger sidewalk display area and maybe weren't as visible and were kind of tucked more into the commercial development. Lighting and glare was also an issue. Originally, when the project was approved, it was approved to include sort of the acorn decorative lights, like the rest of the development has through their street lights. But after we heard the neighbors' concerns, we felt it was probably more appropriate to condition on the project sort of the regular parking lot style shoebox lighting that's very easily controlled and highly shielded. So we did change the condition so that those would be required throughout the parking lot area. We also clarified our condition for the intent of the municipal code to block all glare, on-site glare, and sources of light. So this would include security lighting, building-mounted lighting, to make sure that those were all fully shielded. One issue that did come up that staff also believed needed to be addressed was the shared road maintenance for Cashin and Bliss Streets. The commercial development will obviously utilize these streets for deliveries. It's where their access is located. Their patrons will use these streets to access the development. And so we condition that the commercial center enter into a maintenance agreement for the roads and the portions of the roads that they'll use to ensure that any damage that's done by their patrons or any regularly scheduled maintenance will be shared as feasible by both parties. In terms of economic impact analysis, our city council did the council. And that concludes our presentation. We're available if you have any questions, and the applicants in the audience if you have any questions of them.
Thank you, Kelly. Appreciate it. Any commissioners have any questions of staff? Commissioner Marino?
Kelly, the applicant is PMB Development. Do they own the property and then Tractor Supply would be leasing it, or does Tractor Supply own it? What is that situation?
PMB does not currently own the property. It's our understanding that if a project like this moves forward and they have a lease from Tractor Supply, they will purchase the property and be the owners that then lease to Tractor Supply.
So Tractor Supply is currently the owner?
Currently, it's owned by a different group of individuals.
A different group. Okay. And so if Tractor Supply goes in, then PMB will likely purchase that, lease it back too.
That's correct.
Okay.
With regards to the plantings and the shielding, the coverage, I know that that's a concern of the residents, and you've dealt with that. How mature can plants be when first, you know, put into the ground? So, I mean, how long before the screening really can take effect?
A lot of it does depend on the plants and how quickly they grow. The screen wall was designed to screen most of the outdoor sales area. The street trees have already been installed along there, which I believe are evergreen magnolias, and so those are still small, but definitely getting established and have been in for a year or two now. We could probably add a condition that some larger shrubs be incorporated so that we make sure we don't get all 1 gallon sizes and we get some larger shrubs that are maybe more fast growing, and we could probably look at the landscape plan and try and meet that intent with that.
Okay. Let's see. It doesn't look like there are going to be plants on the trellis, is that correct? It just when it talks about the wrought iron, the kind of cinder block type thing below, and then the trellis, there's the wood trellis. There's no plants on that trellis. When I hear trellis, I automatically think there are going to be plants, but I don't see that anywhere.
The conceptual plan doesn't show anything like vines or any planting like that. Mm-hmm. There are planter spaces along these two sides of the outdoor sales area, and so if you wanted to specify that they choose vines.
The landscaping, and when you look at the sections that have been provided in Section 1 and Section 2, there's a view line that's shown from the second floor, and say average height of persons, say 5 foot plus the 10 foot for the floor. That means that eye is up 15 feet above the ground, and concern about when those trees are going to mature, because you can look in several parking lots within the city now where the trees haven't grown that quickly in those areas. So that is my concern. Are there going to be any conditions or anything that's going to require the applicant to maintain them, to keep it up? If trees die, are they going to be replaced? Those type of things. I also have some questions about the shared maintenance agreement for the road. In here, there's a statement that you reviewed the documents, and I'm wondering, the roads right now being maintained by the Homeowners Association, and does the Homeowners Association have to vote to allow for a new partner into that agreement? Typically, it's sometimes 2/3 of a vote that needs to occur to allow someone else in. And then do the existing maps and documentation allow for easements for use of the private roads by the commercial properties? I'm also just kind of had a question about outdoor uses. Right now, as it stands, are vending machines, are those type of facilities allowed outside of the uses of the buildings? Are those considered to be outdoor uses? You look at some of the shopping centers, they'll have the water purifier machine, there'll be, you know, Coke machines, those type of things just kind of scattered about in the area, newspaper racks and so on. On the proposed plan development overlay zone number 12 text change on page 47, there's a statement: while this text change applies to the entire site and not just to the proposed tenant, any other changes to the master plan or development to provide for additional outdoor sales areas associated with the farm equipment and supply business would require a similar amendment.
And listening to the questions.
In terms of the outdoor area, so basically the list of allowed uses governs what's allowed on the site, but the master plan of development, which is the CUP, approves the site plan. So if any of those other buildings were to want to come back with an outdoor component to them and be a farm equipment supply company as well, it would require a change to that site plan. And anytime you change the site plan in a significant way, it has to come back to Planning Commission for approval. So although the zoning allows for certain types of uses within PD-12, in order to just get a building permit, you have to fit the site plan and the building footprint that was approved with the CUP.
Okay.
And in terms of vending machines, what we're talking about for the outdoor area in the terms of the amendment only applies to farm equipment supply businesses.
So on the minor uses, there's a liquor store or whatever, let's say, could there be a vending machine out there without the text change that you're proposing? That's being proposed.
It could be, because those are something like a vending machine is just accessory to that use. So if that use is allowed, they could have, you know, a Coke machine as part of their business, because a Coke or a vending machine is not a designated use in and of itself.
Okay, and I apologize for my rambling. The other question was the landscaping.
The landscaping, it obviously won't be that big when it's installed. We do believe that a lot of this landscaping, especially through these sections here, has a greater chance of growing than some of the stuff we've seen in current developments, because the planter size area is so large, their root zone is going to have a better chance to really establish itself and get bigger.
And my last question dealt with the maintenance agreement and whether it's known whether the existing homeowners association has to vote to allow for the applicant to participate in the maintenance of the road. And are there easements already set up for the commercial use to use those private roads?
We're not asking the applicant to join the homeowners association, because a commercial is not a home, so it can't be part of the homeowners association. What we're conditioning is that the commercial project come into a separate maintenance agreement with the appropriate entity, which would be the homeowners association. How they legally form that and who's responsible for signing those documents is up to the homeowners association. So it would be a separate agreement simply between the Dove Creek Homeowners Association and the commercial owner.
And the issue that's facing us here, I guess I need to ask you a hypothetical question to do that, and that is, if there were no need to have an outdoor area in this project, would there be any need for us to issue a conditional use permit?
There's a conditional use permit that's already approved. So if a use came in that was consistent with the PD-12 text and they wanted to build it just like the footprint shown in the site plan, it would just be a building permit.
So then really the issue before us is the outdoor element of this project. Is that
correct?
Correct. Okay. Now, on that point, I notice that there are 27 allowed uses listed here for this in connection with this particular PD-12 overlay district text, A through AA. And on only three of them is there a restriction that prevents outdoor, or that refers to outdoor use. One is letter B there, building materials and hardware. That's restricted to indoor only. And then Q, business support services, where all areas of use are located within a building. That seems like an indoor use restriction as well. And then this particular one, R, farm equipment and supplies, indoor only. And I guess my question is, do you know, or does the staff know, what is behind that? Why were these restrictions put on these particular three items, these uses?
I think the concern was originally that when we were doing the Dove Creek master plan development, we want... I think this goes back to the original approval of the project. This was intended to be a small-scale village-type center. There was a concern that if we just allowed by right outdoor uses, that we might have something that would be too intensive for the project area. So there were some restrictions put on the building material and the farm supply.
Include an outdoor dimension to it. Or eating and drinking places almost likely would include an outdoor element. I see you have schools, business, and vocational. They would have some outdoor aspect. Fuel and ice dealers, I guess there would be something outdoor there. Hotels and motels would have an outdoor element. Bed and breakfast is my... So some of these allowed uses could very likely and probably would have an outdoor dimension to them, I guess. Is that fair to say?
That's correct, yes.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yeah, my question is, if just by some chance in the future there's a different tenant on this site, the city does have a say as to the type of business, doesn't it? Because we're under a conditional use permit on this project. Is that my understanding? Is that correct? Or
the business would have to comply with the PD-12 text in order to go in there. So what you see written in your revised resolution that was handed out with the track changes turned on correctly is what would be allowed to go in there by right without coming back.
So if a motorcycle repair came in and they wanted to throw motorcycles out in the yard and everything else, that's unless it's listed as a business by the use from the PD-12, then it could not go in there.
Correct.
Thank you.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes, I just need a clarification here. As I understand it, PMB Development Company is going to buy this 5 acres if this project is approved. Is that correct?
Yeah, I can't speak to their particular business deals, but PMB is the applicant on this. And was relayed to us that they would be purchasing the property and then leasing it to Tractor Supply Company.
All right. And if that's the case, then they're going to sell either all of it or just the footprint of the Tractor Supply buildings to Tractor Supply.
Currently, the way it stands, it would be a lease. It's only one parcel, and so nothing can be sold individually on that lot. So it would just be a lease.
In other words, Tractor Supply, which is a very reputable company on the stock exchange, would not necessarily be controlling. But I'm wondering, could you give me an example of what is going to be stored out there?
I believe in their response attachment.
Maybe it's buried somewhere in the paper here, but I didn't see it. But
Pardon?
Okay, I don't think it's in there. I believe it's in the staff report on page 46. And so in their information, they listed things like ride-on lawnmowers, push lawnmowers. Actually, these are things displayed in front of the store, but I assume that a lot of those will be in the outdoor area as well. I know they've mentioned sort of some fencing, some irrigation products that they sell, things of that nature, and they are available in the audience when it's open to public comment if you want more specifics.
So none of these are going to be towering over the fence that's going around the periphery?
The best thing to do would be to ask them, but we believe the way the fence is designed, it's fairly tall, and it would be unlikely to have things that high.
Okay. And I have some questions about the landscaping. Will it be a condition put in this that the landscaping needs to be put in first, particularly in the back area where that may not get developed for years, but it's important to have the trees and, grow up because that's part of the masking of this outdoor area.
I believe we included a condition, probably in condition number 9.
Yeah, it was kind of wishy-washy.
Yeah, the perimeter landscaping be installed. The reason why it says unless infeasible is because they have to be able to build those pads, and we don't want them installing landscaping and then ripping it out. And so we assume that most of the perimeter will be able to be installed. There might be some close-up to where the buildings are proposed that might not be able to be installed, but there's a fairly large swath along a lot of the perimeter, and most of that landscaping will be able to be installed.
Okay.
Commissioner.
Finally, there's going to be something in there where they're not going to be putting in trees the size of my finger, right?
We can condition that, Commissioner Ward.
Pardon?
We can condition
okay.
any approval to
okay.
Accommodate.
Fair enough.
Okay. Commissioner Colomarino?
Yes, one additional thing. Callie, I just wanted to get a handle on the scale of this and the outdoor area. Is that, are my numbers pretty much on target there?
I would have to add them all up specifically based on their floor plans and run them, but it looks to be about that proportion or slightly less.
And so the Tractor Supply Company outlet here will be the, you could say, the anchor tenant in this project.
That's correct, yeah. Based on their size, they are the anchor tenant in the center.
By the way, will there be some signage or something identifying the project, Tractor Supply Square or Dove Creek Center or something like that?
There's currently no proposed pylon signs or anything of that nature. So I know when the project was originally approved, they wanted to make sure that it did fit within sort of the entire Dove Creek schematic design. And so there are some obviously individual business signs, but there's nothing in the original approval or in this application for any type of pylon sign or center signage.
That's something that could be coming down the road, I assume. Is that a fair assumption, you think?
They would need to bring that before the Planning Commission
yes.
to add that detail.
Yes. Thanks.
Commissioner Benz.
Yes. Just a clarification point. The retail portion of the site is 60,000 square feet, of which Tractor Supply Company is going to be taking 39,900 square feet of it, which represents 17.67% of the 5.186 acres, or a total of 1.377 acres for the 60,000 square feet. The 60,000 square feet is the total site, but they're only taking approximately 40,000, so there's still 20,000 left for additional retail development.
Sounds close enough for government work. Okay. Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes, I have a couple more comments or questions. This afternoon, I called Kelly about the statement that's on page 49 about the proposed project will not generate traffic volumes in excess of generation estimates. In researching for this, I looked at my ITE manual, and it was looking at neighborhood commercial comparisons to regional uses. And from what I saw, there was negligible changes between the two uses itself. They're basically somewhere between 45 and 50. Okay.
Commissioner Schmidt, let me interrupt just a minute, please. Commissioner Benz has been doing a bit of analysis on the whole traffic thing, and that will bring and deal with traffic all at one time, if you wouldn't mind.
The last question I had to deal with the kind of interesting arrangement that was set up at the very beginning of the project where the developer put the $400,000 into the interest-bearing account. And then there's a requirement that says once 46,000 square feet is built, that account closes, and I'm suggesting I think it would be returned to the owner of the property. Does the 20,000 square feet of outdoor use, is that used in that calculation?
Yes, it is. That would be consistent with the previous approval, which had it all as indoor space.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. With that, I'd like to ask one quick question. How many homeowner associations are there at Dove Creek?
I believe there's two. Spoken to a couple people. I think there's a single family and then the townhome association.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the next, before we go to the next portion of this, which would be presentation by the applicant, I'd like to make a few comments. How many, by a show of hands, how many are planning on speaking tonight? Okay, thank you. Remember that when you get to the lectern, please Please remember to state your name and where you are from for the record. And there will be a 3-minute time limit, and it's controlled by the lights up there. When it goes to yellow, please start wrapping up. And when it goes to red, your time's up. And with that, I'd like to ask the applicant to approach the lectern and enlighten us a little.
Good evening, members of the Planning Commission. My name is Tom Courtney, Courtney Architects in San Luis Obispo. We're the original 2004 architects of record for the architectural character of the commercial center portion of the project. I would like to thank staff for a very thorough to us to respond to, and we appreciate the constructive criticism and feedback from the HOA and citizens. We tried to address as many of them as we possibly could, and surely we may not be able to make everybody happy, but we felt that as the original design architects that the character of this project, its visibility to the community, to make it a safe and attractive area where children and family members can walk throughout the facility with a project that's very unusually, 4 sides of all buildings are architecturally designed with a design statement of character, which is quite unusual. So people walking in and coming in from the residential areas, we take a lot of looks at the steps, the entryway, the plazas, the outdoor eating areas, the seating areas, from every vantage point. We will address a few of those here tonight. We do have a full presentation, but I think Kelly just did an outstanding job on really covering the bases. But we'd like to remain available, as well as Mr. Bob Roman, who can also respond, address as the developer, to address any of those other questions that you may have. One of the words which are akin to more of the farm supply in San Luis Obispo about the character and farm supply and materials is a very attractive building of more of a rural type of a character, which more people, when we spoke to at the end of the meetings, some may have visited, we hope, we asked them to, and looking at the Western wares and other products on the interior and to get yourself familiar. Far as tractor supply, this is more of a cutting-edge, second-to-none project, which they, as far as design, they are really pushing the limits on looking at giving the best character to this project. And we really appreciate their willingness to, you know, accept the comments and the conditions as well that's been, you know, presented to us. And working hand-in-hand, they want the project to be the best it can be as well. I think what I'd like to do at this time here, and like to remain open to address any other questions, but the project designer, Christy Esther, is here. We had a full PowerPoint presentation, but I think we'd like to focus on the issues at hand and also to address more concerns that may be brought up tonight a little later on. So I'd like to introduce Chris, project designer.
Which encompasses 65,990 square feet. Total of the building area, which includes the building A outdoor area. Site encompasses 170 parking spaces, incorporates an underground storm drain retaining system, and as you could tell, the design of the center itself, as the previous approval, maintains the village character, which is the cluster of buildings, which is not your typical strip mall shopping center. It was very important that we carried the varied building sizes and styles and made sure that it closely related to the adjacent residences, whether they're existing or future. We're looking at the design for the entire Dove Creek development as a whole. The great benefit of producing a site plan like this with the juxtapositions of the buildings, it provides areas for public gathering, as you can tell with the plaza areas. to see if this mouse works. No, it doesn't. The plaza area is between C and D and E, as well as between F and G, as it relates on to the residences, as well as provide areas for abundant landscaping and screening for the buildings, also as it relates to the residences. We anticipate that the project will actually have a phased construction, with phase 1A being the site infrastructure, utilities, grading, the storm drain lines, parking lot site lighting, landscaping around the perimeters, as well as around the constructed buildings as part of that, as part of phase 1B, which is the Tractor Supply building and the outdoor area. In comment to the other relationship in regards to the 45,000 square feet, we're anticipating phase two, which is building the minimum of that 5,100 remainder square feet as a subsequent phase prior to the 2016 expiration date. Phases 3, 4, and 5 would be based on buildings as necessary, as as our economy grows back from where it is. But that would be the final subsequent phase. The commercial pads. I know we talked briefly about line of sight architecture. We looked at maintaining the parking in the center of the project to try to help mitigate light, noise, and sight lighting glare. The two elevations that you see on the bottom of the screen can show actually the relationship of El Camino Real on the right-hand picture to the finished floor of the Tractor Supply building, and then on the left, the pad, I do believe that's pad C, the pad C or pad D buildings, in relationship to Cashin and Bliss Streets. So there is a little bit of an elevation change between the street up to the center and then between the center and the two major streets flanking it. This is a diagram showing the linkages that we, once again, we were looking at the whole development between Dove Creek as a whole, planned for existing and future linkages that were proposed in the conceptual master plan. And as you can see, we do have, abundance of cross linkages as well as pedestrian traffic that we're accounting for. There had been some questions regarding how the traffic for the main delivery trucks would access the site. This is the diagram that shows that the El Camino Real would be the main access point through Cashin Street on site and then back out the same way, thereby minimizing any more impacts to Bliss to the west, mainly coming through Cashin Street. This is also based on the standard 65 truck template, which we also studied as part of the previous approval. This is a focus enlargement on the Tractor Supply building, showing the 19,100 square foot enclosed space as well as the 20,800 square foot outdoor space for a total of 39,900 square feet. The outdoor sidewalk display areas are also shown to the west of the building along the frontages, which would be primarily used for equipment and products. We touched briefly on this. This is the enlargement of the elevations of the building for the four-sided architecture. And as you can see, it integrates residential and human-scale elements to create that village ambiance and to relate this project back to the residential neighborhood. This is actually the side and the rear of the building as facing Santa Barbara and El Camino Real Streets, El Camino being the top elevation and Santa Barbara being the bottom elevation. And what we try to do here is we establish focal elements, focal points towards the intersection to create, a nice viewable architecture as seen from the street. Really briefly, Tractor Supply Company with their outdoor merchandising, I know this had become a little bit of an issue. This primarily focuses on the display areas to the front of the building. This is actually copied from the corporate description. I do believe that was also included in the packet as well. The storefront is a company program designed to maximize sales by displays of in-season goods, for example, riding or push lawn mowers, garden carts, wheelbarrows, dog houses, rubber mats, grass seed fertilizer bags. The front sales area is an extension of the sales floor and shall be kept clean and organized like interior of building. All the elements would be secured items and equipment, and shall be only located within the boundaries identified on the site plan and to maintain sidewalk clearance for foot traffic. We briefly touched on this too. This is the line of sight drawings, a little bit enlarged, section ones and section two. Section one and section two are actually the closest to the outdoor yard area across the street at Cashin Street. And as you can see, the finished floor elevations of the adjacent residences are somewhere in the 909 to 910 range, and our finished floor pad for the Tractor Supply building starts at 920. So that, in addition to the screening, the view from the second floor cannot see over into the yard. It actually sees the screening, which we're, you know, using to screen the yard. These two sections are our long sections across Cashin and Bliss Streets. These are the furthest away, but as you can tell, the line of sight does pass through a lot of vegetated areas, landscaping areas, before it gets to the outdoor yard area. Just briefly, we had presented this as part of the neighbor clothing, equine and pet supplies, tractor and trailer parts and accessories, lawn and garden supplies, sprinkler and irrigation parts, power tools, fencing, welding and pump supplies, riding mowers, and more. We also provided a internet address for the homeowners just in case they wanted to visit the website and learn more. We also presented a small bit of items that actually were specific to the Dove Creek location. Dove Creek location best serves the rural ranch lands on the south side of Atascadero as well as to Santa Margarita. TSU products and equipment provide convenient locale resource for adjacent homeowners on their do-it-yourself projects. This national anchor tenant will also draw in other retailers for the shops and pad buildings, which may include eateries and various neighborhood retail uses. A typical TSC outers operation, 8 to 9 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 6 on Sunday. Deliveries are scheduled between 8 and 5 Monday through Friday, with the TSC itself, the delivery truck, arriving 2 to 3 times a week. Vendor trucks, the smaller ones that service more of the smaller retail portions, arrive daily. This is just an enlargement of the shops and pads, resulting, cumulatively 26,090 square feet for single and multi-tenant retail spaces. Once again, we touched on this earlier, clustered to allow pedestrian vehicular access. This is an enlargement of F&G, which also faces the residences towards Cashin Street. As you can tell, we decorated and we thought about some of these outdoor spaces and surrounded them with trellis and other public and water feature amenities to try to help make the patrons stay and hang out and enjoy the center. This is Pad C elevations. As you can see, once again, four-sided architecture. We don't have a blank side to the building. It was really important to us to maintain those spaces. This is the multi-tenant shop building for D&E. And once again, it shows the undulations of the architectural features and the roof elements and making sure we have a nice face towards the residences. Once again, this is for pads F and G, and we do have an enlargement of the trellised area around the outdoor. I'd like to thank the Planning Commission and request their recommendation for approval to City Council. And this concludes our presentation. We will remain available for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dasna.
Does any commissioners have any questions for the applicant? Commissioner Marino?
Mr. Courtney or Mr. Diesta, either one, fine. First of all, as architects, I mean, this is a beautiful project you've put together. I want to make sure I understood what you said about Tractor Supply would have deliveries between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, and likely 2 to 3 times a week.
That is correct. The delivery window is 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. The main truck arrives 2 to 3 times a week, and then the smaller trucks arrive anytime within that zone.
Okay. So I know that was one of the major concerns of the residents. I know. One of the questions that Mr. Vreeken had brought up, part head of the Homeowners Association, was why couldn't the building and the outdoor area be switched? You know, so the outdoor area was at the corner of El Camino and maybe not facing the residents. And I saw the response to that was that the architects and, you know, everyone involved said that that isn't feasible. And I'm not here to second-guess you, and I'm wondering just maybe for the perspective for the residents to understand why that's not possible.
If you look at the site plan here, if you were to flip the outdoor area with the main building for Tractor Supply, of course, what would happen is the Tractor Supply building, because of its depth, would actually interfere with the intersection off of Cashin Street. Also, the outdoor area, the main field of parking would also be offset from the main entrance to the A building, as well as, you know, and interfere with possibly pad F and G along the street frontage there. So it does have a significant impact. And, you know, with the building in its current location, allows us to, you know, express it a little bit better at the street intersection, as well as adhering to the geometry of the site, which is the deepest location.
Okay.
May I just add to that?
Please.
The visual impact issue and massing of the building had a very important play in addition to buildings. The siting was looked for numerous reasons to be where it's at.
Okay. Thank you. And I'm not sure if you can answer this question, being architects. It's something that I had seen one of the residents, whether it was in an email, I forget, and I heard this question from someone else. Out of curiosity, for Tractor Supply, why this site versus any other, you know, commercial location available on El Camino?
Bob Roman, developer, is here to address more of that question.
Okay.
Make sure I understand. Excuse me. Thank you, Commissioner. Why this site versus
any other maybe commercially available site on El Camino? Some spots that are for sale. You know, there's the.
Well, we looked at a couple other sites. Some of them, the grading on them wasn't something that was applicable. This was the first site that was actually brought to us, and Tractor said, "Yes, we'd love to be a part of the Atascadero community," and that's why we're here on this one.
Okay.
It was more practical. In fact, this was the first one that was presented.
Okay. I just seen the question pop up, and I thought there might be other people that wanted to know the answer to that.
No, I don't think there's anything more deep than that.
Okay. First offer, it looks good. We like it. Okay. And, okay. That's good for now. Sandy, thanks.
Commissioner Schmitz?
Yes, Chris. I had noticed on the one of the concerns that I had actually was the intersection of Santa Barbara and El Camino Real. I was actually more interested in seeing kind of a true elevation to see how much of that building would be exposed, knowing, you know, the depth of that cut that's going to be in that area. Do you know what the height, how much of the, where the eave line is going to be as you go down towards the north and El Camino Real and to the west on Santa Barbara? And how quickly is that going to be exposed? Do you know?
It might be hard to make out, but the top elevation shows the relationship of Santa Barbara Street on the left side, mm-hmm. and there's actually a dashed line there. It's just hard to make out where it slopes from that elevation on the left and nearly daylights out onto the right where the blue tree is.
There's the sign for the store. Do you at this time know the relationship of the height of that sign with respect to the minor buildings that are going to be to the west of it? Will those minor buildings and the roof lines that are going to be articulated for that, will that help screen that sign that's within the gable of the Tractor Store?
I guess I'm not following the question.
above the entrance to the Tractor Store, there's a sign, right?
There's the main Tractor Supply
sign. Okay, I'm living in the units to the west. My view out the back windows.
Oh, the residence units.
Yeah, west. Looking to the east there, I and I see this sign.
Yes.
Eventually, the minor building is going to be in front of it.
Yes.
Will the height of the roof lines of those minor buildings block some of that signage or the lighting from that signage?
Yeah, I believe so. The tree's at full maturity. When you look at the site plan, when you look at the site plan, there is some level of landscaping between the frontage of the building as well as Bliss Street, as well as the perimeter landscaping along the right-of-way of Bliss Streets. There might be a small window there right along the drive aisle, but it shouldn't be that significant.
One of the reasons why I state that, where I happen to live, there's a sign that was put up maybe 1,000 feet away from my house, and it's at nighttime pretty bright. And so I would have concern. Are there any, there was a comment from one of the other commissioners about signage. Are there any plans for monument signs at El Camino and Santa Barbara or at the intersections with Bliss and the other street?
I think we're conditioned at this point not to have signage along the interior adjacent streets, but we would have signage along the street frontages.
So like at the intersection of El Camino and Santa Barbara, there might be signage in that area there?
There could be. But right now what we're doing is we're actually promoting the TSC signage on the tower that faces that street intersection.
Okay. Thank you.
Outdoor area at night, is there going to be security lighting for that outdoor sales area at night? What kind of, because there was a mention here about the parking lot and about the lights and that being kind of flooding over into the area for security, but is there additional lighting beyond that?
We anticipate that there's additional lighting within the outdoor yard area that's focused solely on the outdoor yard area. And then there would be ancillary lighting, you know, above exits and doorways and to that nature.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Colomarino.
Does Tractor Supply Company have any company architecture that it usually uses for its stores?
That's a very good question because when we looked at such a national company and looking at their buildings, we asked that same question, and they showed us pictures of the other building. And I'm saying, well, that's not going to work here. So, you know, they essentially came back, well, why don't you come back to us and tell us what you think our building needs to look like? And it was a very cooperative spirit, and we said we had to abide by the initial architectural character concept. And people are going to be walking through this project towards the evening time, their children, whatnot, meandering around and whatnot, and that wherever they walk in the evening time when you're closed down, they need to walk in areas that are safe and your architecture and your building, it can't be just like your other buildings. So really, like I said before, this is really one of the most attractive buildings that they're going to be having. And hopefully it sets the pace for other projects in the future for them. So no, to answer your question, design criteria, there wasn't a specific design criteria. It was very industrial looking, and some of the pictures that they showed us, we just had it mentioned right off the bat. So, but when we did come back to them and went back to management and corporate, they said, look, this is really different for us, and look at our image, and let's go for this one. So.
Well, that struck me. It appeared, you know, I was surprised that a company with 800 stores nationwide would have such a custom facility being designed for us in Atascadero. And that's actually a very heartening thing to see. And I see also a reference in the correspondence to the fact that this is going to be, quote, the nicest store in Tractor's 800-store chain. Now, that leads me to the question, did anyone think of maybe using a special name for this purpose in case there's any interest? Now, also, I wanted to ask, has Tractor Supply been in this position before where it's going to be the anchor tenant? I mean, it's going to be more important in this center than I thought when I was giving out those numbers. Approximately two-thirds of the retail space is going to be Tractor Supply. It's really going to be a showcase in this particular center. Now, is Tractor Supply accustomed to being in that position and the responsibilities associated with it? Up to this point, it looks like you're trying to do everything to be on good terms with the neighbors and ingratiate yourselves, but it's going to be a continuing process probably in this particular situation, and I think we'd all like to hear that Tractor Supply has faced this kind of a responsibility before in various communities and discharged it satisfactorily?
That's a very good question. Excuse me, Bob's here. Excuse me.
You drink water.
Thank you, Commissioner. To my knowledge, I've only been working with Tractor for about 3 years now, and this will be our second store that we're doing for them. We're doing one in Los Banos, which is due to open probably middle of this year. They're new to California, and I would think they have now maybe 10 stores in California. They have faced that issue in other states. I don't have personal experience with them, but in talking to corporate, I do know they have done that. And they have done that in a couple instances already in California. And they are aware of the additional challenges in developing communities in California because we are special, so to speak. And that's probably in a good sense. And I appreciate the name change, and I will suggest that to them. We did discuss that issue that we were trying to get over the hump initially because of that name problem, but they wanted to stick with the one that's been working for them for a number of years. But they understand the anchor tenant scenario, and they understand their obligations there, and they're up to the challenge.
That's all I have, Chairman.
Okay. Any Commissioner Ward?
Yes, excuse me. I have a basic question, and I don't want to insult anybody, but with the conditions in the country now, which also has affected every corporation on the NASDAQ.
That was the first question. Well, obviously, in regards to the construction timing, provided that we get all the approvals, I mean, we could conceivably have permits, you know, construction drawing phase within 3 to 4 months, and then take it out to bid and you know, have shovels in the ground probably inside 6 to 8 months, I would say, you know, well ahead of our 2016 deadline. But I think the anticipation is as soon as we get the go-ahead from Planning Commission as well as City Council that Tractor Supply is very eager to move forward on this project. Bob will address the financial question.
Yeah, Commissioner, I understand the economic issue is a major issue for everybody nowadays, and this was something that spoke to Tractor's willingness, given these tough economic times, wanting to be a part of the Atascadero community and wanting to go forth and do this. And I think it's an important item to recognize because this does start this center, and it will be a catalyst and attract other tenants to the center as well. Yeah. Now, regarding the financing, we're a small development company, and to answer the question earlier about do we own it, no, we are in escrow with the former owner, who, as I understand, there's been more than one person just tried to find someone to come to this site and have been unable to identify anybody, and Tractor's pretty much the first one to step up to the plate and said, yeah, we'd want to be there, and we're willing to do that. Financing, we have a number of banks that we do business with, and how it is structured is there a construction loan is usually put in place which fully funds the construction of that building from the time we break ground to the time we complete it. So that stuff is all in place prior to us actually breaking ground. And the timing of doing that, the build-out is somewhere around 6 months, 5 to 6 months, depending on, you know, weather certainly comes into play. But that's, you know, in a nutshell, that's kind of how it happens. Did you have anything else?
Thank you. That answers my questions. I don't have any more questions.
Any other commissioner questions? Commissioner Benz?
Yes. I have a question, maybe for Bob again, on the finances. You were speaking directly about the TSC building. What about the other pads and the financing of those and the construction of those?
Well, not wanting to give out, you know, I keep hearing rumors there that money is going to be start letting loose here in a couple of months since all the money that's been put out into the community for projects like this. Typically, that is not the problem once the anchor starts in our history, in our past, and doing it. I have no guarantee of how that will happen, but you know, obviously the landscaping and all the hardscape will be done prior, and then the pads will be ready for when we start building those. And we do these things in phases because we are small, and once we get the first one up, we will start the next one, and then we'll start leasing it. And once this is gone and improved and underway, and prior to that, we will put out the leasing information to all our contacts and things like that to find other tenants that are willing to come in. And when we advertise that there's a tractor coming in there or there's another type of use, and some people like to be next to a quote tractor store, and those are kind of things that start happening. And you know, this is the community we work in with all the tenants, brokers, and once we put that out there, all of a sudden people will start calling and say, yeah, we want to be there. That looks like a good community. We'd like to go in that development. And that's how the rest of the development happens.
Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Colomarino?
Excuse me. I'd just like to follow up on something you said there, that certain types of entities like to come in when there's a tractor store there. Could you identify any of the types of operations that are attracted to come in alongside of tractor supply stores?
Well, some that won't be applicable here are some fast food places like to be next to them, and I know this is not a site that's going to happen for. But you will get smaller neighborhood-type uses, ice cream stores, coffee stores, things, any kind of business like that that generates some activity will get little stores like that that want to serve a community. And whether it be a mom-and-pop operation or a small franchise or a corporate store that wants to go in there, you know, a phone store, anything like that where there's activity, all these little stores, 1,200, 1,500 square feet type of usage you see typically in little centers like this are the type of people who go there. Can I identify any specific one? No, I can't do that specifically.
But these are not necessarily retailers that sell lines of products that are similar?
No, to probably dissimilar.
Dissimilar.
Yes. I mean, you know, you're going to get your ancillary services type. Like the one we're doing in Los Banos, we have an ice cream store there. I think there's a cleaners going in there. Trying to think, there's a phone use maybe going in there as well. And today I got a call from a bank that wants to go in there. In fact, when I mentioned this was a conversation I had on the way down here today, this particular bank said,
project for highway signage of any type, or is there any plans for there to be highway signage?
I think at this point in time, there is not. Not okay. For our highway signage.
Okay, thank
small center type signage, probably.
Emphasize at the commercial location, not detached from it.
Right.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. What I'd like to do at this time is. move on to public comment. So for those of you that have been patiently waiting, and I thank you for your patience, just please approach the lectern and I'll take you one at a time.
Good evening, Planning Commissioners. My name is Tom Birkenfeld, and I am the past president of the Atascadero Professional Firefighters Local 3600. I'm speaking on behalf tonight of the rest of our group. As you all are aware, our organization consistently supports smart commercial and retail development in Atascadero. The need for this type of development is more important now than ever. According to the recent economic study, Atascadero is second to last in the entire county when it comes to sales tax revenue. We continue to lose large amounts of revenue to our neighbors that are north and south. With our city currently facing millions of dollars in deficits over the next several years and the possibility of cuts in services, it only seems obvious that we should encourage commercial and retail development. One of the current council's strategic goals was to improve the city's financial state through economic development. They've coined the phrase, Atascadero is open for business. Well, it's about time that I think we prove it. We have a great opportunity to have a tractor supply company build a retail outlet in our city and provide much needed revenue. They have potential to generate large amounts of taxable sales as well as supply much needed goods and services to ranchers. Last November, the citizens of Atascadero proved overwhelmingly that they want shopping choices that offer competitive prices and selections. Please don't let a vocal minority stop this business opportunity. Let's welcome Tractor Supply, help move their project forward, and show everyone that Atascadero truly is open for business. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Birkenfeld.
Next. Hi, my name is Alan Bailey, a resident of Dove Creek. And the reason I come before you today, ladies and gentlemen, is because I have to live in this area. This will be in my front yard. And many of you will make choices that will impact all of us who live there. As you know, there are over 200 homes there. And we have to deal with the impact of this project. Now, obviously, we need tax revenues. We should have had Walmart in here long ago. And if you can't approve Walmart, why would you put something right on someone's doorstep that's going to cause traffic problems? It's going to, you're talking about large trucks going in and out of there. This is a family community with kids. I have a lot of kids, so do a lot of the other residents. Walking around, that's a safety hazard. You've got trucks coming in and out, that's noise. You've got problems with what that's going to do to the road, which we maintain. And if they've got this traffic and they've got heavy trucks going in and out, you can be guaranteed that the maintenance is going to be much heavier, and it's all going to be due to that traffic, those heavy trucks and whatnot. Now, I thought we wanted to re-image Atascadero as a community that wanted to grow and have a bright future. You didn't want to have Walmart, but you're going to put a Tractor Supply store as the first thing you see entering Atascadero. Take the first exit, you see a Tractor Supply company, which should be in some sort of industrial park, nestled and snugged up to one of your premier housing developments. And, you know, that's a slap in the face to the residents. All of us who are now paying taxes, which really helped improve your coffers, over 200 houses, you know, we expect a little back from the city because we're here to provide those taxes, but we want to have a voice in what happens in our neighborhood. And from what I'm gathering here, what kind of trucks, when are they going to arrive? We don't know. What's it going to do to the road? We don't know. What are they going to pay the Dove Creek Association for all that road maintenance from the heavy trucks? We don't know. Please reconsider this. You've got all kinds of taxpayers within the Dove Creek community who came in and partnered with you to have a beautiful, nice community, and now you're trying to reimage the whole place, probably bring down property values and hurt us all, especially with safety issues with our children, because this is a family community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey. Welcome.
I'm Alan Indictor. I live at 9164 Gorion Way. I bought my home in the Dove Creek community because it was a master planned development. And in purchasing it, I investigated what that really meant. I went to City Hall and talked to some of the people in the planning department. I talked to the developer. I was informed about the commercial development, and I was told it was probably going to be a neighborhood center, and that there were many restrictions and that they would be adhered to. I was also told that we couldn't do certain things to our houses or our properties unless we got permission and unless they conformed to this master plan. So I felt very comfortable, and we ended up purchasing our house. Now, I've heard some statements today that brought to mind an incident that happened to me 20 years ago. I was a partner in a project in Ventura. Next door to us was a vacant lot. Somebody wanted to improve that lot with a commercial property. We had, our property was also commercial, but we adhered to this plan that they had in the city. The people next to us had all this open space that they wanted to put in. We were very concerned about what would happen once they did that. They got their zoning changed and the open space was put in. Eventually, over, we couldn't get them to contribute to the maintenance. We had to pay for the maintenance of that road. That's the first thing. Second thing is, some elements were brought up here as to what would be in that open area to begin with. And only a few items were mentioned up here on the screen. I went on the website today of Tractor Supply and took down a number of items that they actually sell. They sell mowers, tillers, tractor tune-ups, which we don't know if they're going to do that or not, and tune-up supplies, chainsaws, log splitters, trimmers and blowers, air compressors, power tools, generators, hitches and trailers, tires, they exchange tires.
Mr. Henrique.
Truck towing equipment, air compressors. Now, you can't tell me all of that's going to be inside. What about the noise factor?
Mr. Indicator.
These are things that concern us.
Yes.
The other item...
Your time is up, sir. Okay, if you'd like to continue on, we can do it after everyone's had their first opportunity to speak.
Hi, my name is Jeff Phillips. I live on 9162 Gorion Way. Currently Vice President of Dove Creek HOA. And I'm not against the commercial retail development. I am against the rezoning of the commercial retail development. It was zoned that way for a reason. Outdoor sales of farming supplies and other industrial outdoor does not fit our neighborhood. I paid $5,200 in property taxes last year. I currently think that if you put that type of outdoor supply, property values will continue to drop. Therefore, you guys have received less property taxes. I saw several line of sights to the perimeters, houses, but they failed to mention that several areas are above that, which includes the hill on Santa Barbara Road and includes houses on Gorion, which I'm currently above houses on Cashmere. I don't know the exact line of sight on which I have, but I know it's higher than the houses right next to that redevelopment. And I also say, why does this have to go outdoor? I saw no evidence or any reason why not. There was a reason why this was zoned this way. And you start changing zones, and this Tractor Supply goes out of business, that zone remains the way it's changed. Any other outdoor supply will go in there. And any, you know, unless the zone gets changed back. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. Next.
Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Gary Henson. I reside at 11809 Herencia Court. I am currently president of the Homeowners Association at Dove Creek for the villas, and I am also treasurer of the Homeowners Association for the Homeowners Association of Dove Creek. A couple of things. I must really applaud the architect because the design is very, very well done. However, without a zone change, that's the architecture that we bought into the development in. We were shown the plot map. We were shown renderings and so on prior to purchasing our homes. This is what we saw. What we didn't see was a 20,000 square foot outdoor sales and storage area. We were again told also that it was going to be a nice residential friendly development, which we applauded. We thought, geez, this is really something different for the city of Tascadero. And when we moved to the city of Tascadero, we applauded that. I think one of the things, there a lot of people didn't show up tonight, but in your packets, we did a survey of the neighborhood. And of the people that purchased there under the assumption that this is what was going to be there, we did the survey, and 91%, there was 104 residents at home when the survey was done. Those in favor of the proposed zone change, 9. Those against the proposed zone change, 95. I think these individuals are concerned with a number of things. And most importantly is that we bought into a planned residential community, which included this plan, master plan, retail center. Now it's being changed. That's not what we bought into. The main concern is I've seen that on your plan, there is a change in the parking lot to accommodate larger vehicles. The templates that were shown were very impressive. However, an actual truck in there, that the outdoor area is also asking for a change in the parking to accommodate a turnaround for that large of a truck. I would really invite you to come down to the corner of Cashin and El Camino Real and look at the width of that street and that island and envision a truck making that turn there currently as designed. That's why us as residents, we're asking not for no retail. We're just asking simply that the retail that we were promised or shown, promises can be broken, I understand, I'm going over, we want the zone change not to be approved. We would love the zoning of that parcel to remain the same. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Henson. Next.
Good evening. My name is Kevin Buffett. I own a Tascadero Hay and Feed. And I just have one quick question. It's not really a concern of the Planning Commission, but it's has the economic impact on the local businesses been looked at and what it's going to do to us? It's going to affect not only businesses here in Atascadero, but from Santa Margarita all the way to Paso Robles that are involved in the feed, farm, and ranch, trailer sales, tractor sales. We're already here, and we are contributing to the community as much as we possibly can. And just like a Walmart, these type of companies have a major impact on local businesses that are already here, and I hope that that has been taken into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, my name is Sandy Henson, and I sent a letter to all of the commissioners, but apparently you're the only one that got a copy of it. So I live at 11809 Herencia Court in Dove Creek Villas, and as a resident, I was concerned by staff that they considered this to be routine and non-controversial, not evident by public response, The first public meeting was attended by a standing room only crowd of adjacent property owners. Numerous letters, telephone calls, and a petition have been delivered showing 91% disapproval and objection by the neighborhood. Objections were not taken seriously by the city. Neighbors consider the zone change amendment allowing outdoor sales a huge departure from the original master plan. What was presented here as a beautiful design was what was approved 4 or 5 years ago. We have no conflict with the plan. We have a conflict with what's before you, which is asking for a zone change allowing outdoor sales. Idealistically, a new business venture not currently located in Atascadero would create new revenue and employment opportunities, not repeating what we already have. And one last concern I have is the staff recommended the modification to parking, allowing for pull-through parking spaces. This does demonstrate that they do expect a different type of vehicle to be frequenting that business. The larger truck, as it says in the report, they expect larger trucks with tractor trailers, etc. The original roads were designed for residential vehicles only. They are private roads, but apparently we have no say on what can go over them. But the modification does directly affect Bliss and Cashin. And as you can see on the map, and I don't know if they've displayed it real well, both of those streets have an island in them. Mm-hmm. And as I stated before, it will be virtually impossible for semi-trailer or tractor-trailer trucks to make that turn and turn into the business without cutting that off. And I don't think previous businesses would have used such large vehicles to bring in SUVs or SVUs or the utility vehicle lawnmowers and everything that are going to be sold there that wouldn't be sold at a grocery store or a nail shop or a restaurant. So anyway, I just as a resident am deeply concerned. It is not the design. We fully support that. We bought into it. It is the zone change they're currently asking you for, allowing outdoor sales. That is the concern of the residents. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Henson.
Hi, I'm Morgan Terrell. I live on off of Cashin Way on Wixon Way. I have several concerns about this project in relation to the residences, mostly circulation. The residential portion of Dove Creek should be protected as much as possible from the commercial site, especially because there's an outdoor sales area that wasn't originally anticipated. This is a regional use with outdoor loading that will occur. This was not originally planned for. The mitigated negative declaration and the traffic study both mentioned that this is a neighborhood commercial use and not regional in nature. Children and other residences are outside constantly around that intersection. There's also mailboxes that are at the intersection. We literally stand on the road exactly where that's going to the traffic will turn into the trucks and other general traffic. This is unsafe for residents to stand in the road and for kids to be playing, frankly, at that intersection. From what I understand, the air pollution control district must also receive a referral for this project. I spoke a revised site plan that I just wanted to take it for consideration. This is just an example, and basically it shows that the building could be oriented more towards Santa Barbara Road and move pad C over to where that parking area is on Cashin to make it more of a buffer between the residential and commercial. I don't think we're fighting the commercial. It's just really we don't feel like there's the appropriate buffer and we're concerned about traffic. So if pad C was moved over at the intersection and traffic was at the other, I don't know the name of that street, but off of Santa Barbara Road, then traffic could go in the center. So there, I think there's alternatives that could be looked at. And I'd like the city to require the following mitigations to require that all truck deliveries take place Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. I realize they've been saying that this will occur, but I'd like that to be a condition so we're assured that that will happen. That store hours are limited from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. because if they're available till 9 p.m. and there's trucks delivering, you know, whatever at the outdoor sales area, and there's at the adjacent side, you know, there's children trying to sleep at 9 p.m., it's probably going to be pretty loud. That products displayed, such as cars, go-karts, that should be limited to really building A and not the outdoor sales area. And further, and finally, to revise the master plan to move building C and to put traffic in the middle off Santa Barbara Road. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Don Bullard. I live in Santa Ana in Tascadero. I've been a resident of 32 years. I'm also a general engineering contractor and a developer. In the project they brought before you, the tractor company, is a very good-looking project, and it should serve the community well. The outdoor use has been kind of a stickler here tonight. But you've got a company here that looks at cost, and to build a 40,000 square foot would be considerably more than a 20,000 square foot parking area for outside. And so you don't want to drive them off by going back to your original plan and doing that. And it is important to have the right project. It was stated earlier that July 1st of 2016, this property would divert back to the city. The city then can turn, sell it, or put a school there. You would also then have outdoor. You'd have school buses, traffic coming twice a day. And so your project could lose these people. It could go downhill quite a ways before you could have some project that it would really fit all your personalities. So you might consider that before you put a lot of pressure on the commission that it could end up selling to a developer come in and say, the city, I'd like to buy that property, and this is what I want to put there. And the city at that time could be in worse desire than they are now and turn around and sell it, and you end up with a project not near as nice as this. And so this will improve it.
Mr. Bullard?
The other paths, my 3 minutes is up.
No, I would prefer it if you address the commission as opposed addressing the public directly.
I will,
directly.
Excuse me. I will sit down then.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Warren Miller. I'm a 35-year resident of Tascadero. I'm a building contractor, a real estate broker, and a rancher. And I would like nothing better than to see a company like Tractor Supply come to Tascadero. My first concern, though, was when I heard about the project was how is a company like Tractor Supply going to fit into a community like Dove Creek. So I got a little involved in it, went down and looked at it, and looked at the architect's renderings and so on. I know what all the rest of the Tractor Supply's stores look like, and that was really my concern, and the concern really was for the residents of Dove Creek. After seeing what Courtney and Associates has done with the design, I think they have really done a nice job with it. They have changed the box effect of Tractor Supply to something that's very attractive, and I think that it will work very well in the community. I would, though.
Next.
Good evening. I'm Keith Regan, president of the Dove Creek HOA. I'm the gentleman that wrote you the letter. I'll make it real quick, so I'm not going to throw a lot of emotion in it, but we are concerned about basically the outdoor storage as well as the traffic. A couple things. We feel that the developer and the architect are deceiving you tonight as well as in some of the other areas when they talk about such things as this beautiful site plan that they have here that's gorgeous. But if you look at the dotted line, most of the building, the original building, is going to be below grade where you're not going to see it. So all we're going to see from the street on both Santa Barbara and El Camino is a roof line. And we feel if they were to flip-flop that, that would help mitigate the issue of having the outdoor storage and then have the building, which is a beautiful building, but it would be more visible and be a buffer. They can turn the building sideways as the outdoor storage is and move the outdoor storage where the building is and make the front of the building the long side instead of the short side. So when they said that's not feasible, we feel that they're wrong there. And we don't want to see just a nice roof line
from Santa Barbara and El Camino Real. That'd be a great idea to put that down below. Also, we're concerned about the lighting. As it was brought up earlier, the lit signage on the building, is that going to go dark after the hours, or is it going to dim down? That's something that the commission may want to consider if they are going to allow this project to proceed further. Also, do you know that what kind of a fence we put around a pool? It's a wrought iron fence. You know why we put a wrought iron fence around a pool? So we can see through it and see our children swimming. And they're going to hide the outdoor storage with a wrought iron fence. Doesn't seem like they're hiding anything to me or the rest of our community. So we need to address that as well. As the HOA president, we also have concerns of insurance as their trucks and their that whole project does not share in insurance or road responsibility. If one of their trucks or a truck from that whole development runs over one of our children, everybody's going to get sued, and we'd be stuck alone on that. Or if someone were to drive in and there's a traffic accident, Dove Creek would be sued, not the development. And so we need to be considering those issues as well. Also, we had talked about the types of products for sale at the store, and they didn't mention some of the big things. They're selling ATVs and UTVs. UTVs this afternoon.
Okay. Mr. Vreeken, yes. Your time is up. You may come back is after.
Okay, thank you.
Get through. Thank you. Good evening.
Hello, my name is Charles Park. I live at 11513 Pinson. I haven't been here for 35 years or more, but I've been here for two. And certainly, I just want to discuss a point that I don't have any bias towards what type of business is going to be available. I just wanted to keep it the way it was when I intended to be a part of the community. We talked about, the staffing person discussed, hey, you know, originally we had these types of stipulations and codes within the PD-12 or whatnot to say, hey, we can allow farm and supply as long as it's indoors. I believe having that type of stipulation actually created more property tax revenue by allowing more people to look at the conceptual designs of what we're going to see or what we're going to buy. And it certainly induced myself to think, oh, well, you know what? This is something I could certainly be a part of. I would think this is clearly unfair. And I know unfairness may not necessarily be a strong legal argument, but I'm begging towards the Planning Commission to think about equity. A lot of these homeowners came in thinking that we'd have an exclusive indoor commercial center, and certainly that has increased the amount of property tax revenue that is available now, as even throughout these troubled economic times. And I think certainly it's truly unfair. My other concern is, even though I don't necessarily live in that area, I do commute to work as many other people. I'm very concerned about the jackknifing and the possible turns and the amount of traffic and congestion that it may cause, and possible safety issues. I know part of the mission plan was to support safety, environmental stewardship, I think strong community. So please be aware of those factors on equity and safety. And just let me buy what I originally intended for. Don't let me buy something and then take it away, because I'm already contributing to the community and to the city as a property taxpayer, and so are many other people in the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Park. Next. Mr. Indicator.
I'm Alan Indictor again. I just want to bring up the point of revenue. The other thing is, think of the revenue that will be lost by a reduction in property values of all of those homes that are surrounding the property. That's far more than the revenue that will be taken in by one tenant. The third item that I wanted to mention is, there are about 1,000 people that will be living in this development when it's completely built out. Now, the developer of the balance of the project that bought it from Centex was supposed to be here tonight, but he got
tied up in Paso Robles, or I should say his representative, at another meeting, and he wasn't able to get here. And I just want to say that he is wholeheartedly against having this project go through because it affects all of the vacant land which surrounds this projected development. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Indictor.
Hi again, my name is Gary Henson. I just wanted to continue on two issues. The list of things that or products stored outside or for sale outside was very short on the presentation here. If you look at item number five, under item number three, you will see a full list. And when I read this full list, again, someone brought up the fact of ATVs, UTVs, go-karts, log splitters, and so on. Brought me to a similar situation. Previously, I was involved with economic and redevelopment of a downtown area in the city of Redlands, California. I can guarantee you that when you're hoping that you're going to draw delis, outdoor dining, outdoor gathering, I can guarantee you with experience that those type of businesses, if you build it, they will not come, because can you imagine sitting in the same area as the dog food, the bagged pine shavings, real nice aroma. Oh, and also it says here, bagged fertilizers and manures. So again, it's not consistent of what we envisioned in the beginning, and I just hope you really keep that in mind. And also, as Alan had stated, I also talked to the developer who's going to build out the lots across.
Next.
Good evening, members of the commission. My name is Scott Hallett. I'm a resident at 5420 Ardea in Atascadero. And I just wanted to speak before you tonight to try to take you back in time a little bit. I've heard a lot of concerns this evening about the zone change and the impact that'll have on the residents there. A number of years ago, Dove Creek came before a similar commission like yourselves up at the old Rotunda Room, and it was 67 acres of commercially zoned property that was being proposed to be changed to residential. And I spoke in front of that same commission and urged them not to rezone that property at that time because of the impact that taking that commercial property would have on our community. And the tax revenue, sales tax revenue that it would create, which would support our infrastructure, our public safety, and try to have some foresight into what that 67 acres would bring to our community. And I can understand the concern that the citizens have here, but I don't know if all of them that are now residents there were there when that property was being zoned from commercial to residential, and the impact that that has had long-lasting to our community, and not just, you know, the residents of Dove Creek. When we lost that sales tax base, we lost future revenue to support the infrastructure and the public safety within our community. And I was up there at that Rotunda Room, and unfortunately I couldn't persuade them at the time to not rezone that. I think had that property been available today, we may have not have went through what we did with the Walmart site and another zone change issue. So I would encourage you, if you don't have the history on Dove Creek in its early beginnings being zoned commercial, that you reflect on that and the impact that that zone change had. And with our current fiscal crisis, not just on our own community, but nationwide, I think we need to really consider this. And I can understand everybody's pleas here, but many of us made the same pleas a number of years ago to try to keep that property commercially zoned. And We definitely need the shopping opportunities and the sales tax base. And nobody wants anything in their backyard, but I ask you as a commission that represents our entire city that we need it as a whole. And I hope you approve the project. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Keith Freakin, HOA president. I just have one last thing, that by adding the outdoor storage, they have removed some parking. Presentation. I also want to commend the staff
with their diligent work they've done with the architects in trying to resolve some of the issues and doing, I think, a very nice job on the design of the building, and also taking into consideration the original letter we got from the Homeowners Association to try to address as many of the issues as there were and to resolve as many of them as we could. And I think both the architect and staff did a lot of work as far as the screening of the outdoor outdoor sales area or yard area, if you will, which is the kind of the prime focus of what we're talking about tonight, not necessarily the use of tractor itself, because that is an approved use. I also want to impress again that the they did impose upon this acceptance of this zoning change a fairly long list of conditions of approval, of which we've agreed to, which includes the maintenance agreement, et cetera, for the roads that the homeowners are under the obligation of taking care of. Now we understand that we would then be tractor would then be part of the community and obligated to take care of that as well. So I just want to just close with that, and again, thank you very much for your consideration and everybody's input tonight.
Thank you, sir. Seeing no one else, I'll bring it back to the commission. Okay. Commissioner Benz?
Yes, a question for staff. One of the, was mentioned several times, the number of parking spaces. The number of parking spaces that are in this development that is before us tonight, are they sufficient for the size of the project?
Yes, the number of parking spaces meets our existing parking code.
Thank you.
Commissioner Marino?
Kelly, one of the residents mentioned that a new neg deck would be required. Is that the case? I thought I had read in here that this met the conditions of the prior one. Can you expand?
Sure. The mitigated neg deck basically looks at traffic concerns, air quality concerns, all those things. And so when we posted the original neg deck, they did look at a 60,000 square foot commercial center and the impacts that those would have, as well as the traffic, which when we looked in the IT manual was consistent with this particular use as well. And so the project was consistent with that original approval. We did hear from APCD today and had a conversation with them. They were sent the document in 2004 and did not choose to comment on the mitigation measures at that time. They had
Commissioner Colin Marino?
Yes, I just want to follow up on a couple of the points that were raised. First of all, there was the point raised about policing the outdoor use after the approval or after this thing starts. Is there any certainty that this is going to remain controlled so that the original intentions that were seen expressed here in the design to hide a lot of the outdoor use, to enhance its attractiveness or to prevent it from being unattractive, is there any way that that's going to be policed and controlled in the future?
Basically, the commercial center being under a conditional use permit is required to follow that conditional use permit in terms of the landscaping and the architectural design. The way it works in the city of Atascadero is if something is in nonconformance with our code, whether that be in this development or any other development, somebody files a complaint, we do go out and enforce the code. You could, if you wanted to write specific things, we have in the past recorded sort of not quite a full CCNRs, but just sort of covenants and restrictions against properties that just specified a certain level of landscape detail or screening detail, and that would basically run with the property so that any future owners would have notification of those requirements as part of their title search as well.
I think one of the implications of what you just said is that to a certain extent the policing can be done by the residents, right? But they can be constantly observing the situation, and if they see things running down or becoming trashed, they can file a complaint questioning.
Correct. Yeah. Throughout the entire city, we run our code enforcement on a complaint-based system.
Okay. Then there was a question brought up about sight lines. One resident expressed the concern that because of the grade where his residence is located, he's actually going to be looking down toward the outdoor area. That's what I understood him to be saying. Do you have any response to that, that point?
I believe he was located on the residential units on the other side of the creek, and I do know the other side of the creek bank is at a different level as the side that the commercial development's on. I don't know their finished floor elevations over there, but I do know that when you get to the other side of the creek, there's some different topography.
And was there any sightline analysis done from that area to the project site?
No, there was not. Yeah, it goes over the creek through their recently replanted riparian areas with the valley oaks and such, and it was quite a distance away, so we didn't feel that that would be impacted.
And then the wrought iron screening, is this going to be opaque? Will it be transparent, you know, like you have with the swimming pool fences, or will it be, you know, partially
The screen wall is basically a combination of the concrete block, which you see down here, which comprises maybe 3 feet of the wall, and then a wrought iron component on top, and then a trellis component stacked on top of that. Facing the residences, there's also the planter areas in front of this screen wall that adds landscaping. So the wrought iron portion is a standard wrought iron fence, so you can see through that depending on which angle you're looking at it. Staff does believe that a wall that adds different elements and components along with a layered screening with landscaping is more visually attractive than, you know, a solid 12-foot masonry wall around the development. And so we did believe that this aesthetically was superior to a monotonous solid screen.
And then the ATVs and UTVs, are they... Do you know whether those are going to be sold outdoors? Are the engines going to be revved up? Or, do you know anything about what's
intended? The applicant can probably best answer that. I'm not sure they have a driving field as part of their outdoor area, so I don't anticipate they will be test-driven on the site, but perhaps the applicant would better answer that.
I have a couple of questions for the applicant. Does anybody have anything more of staff at this point in time?
I have one more question for staff.
Okay. Commissioner Benz?
There was a question relating to the lighting on the tower sign and whether it would be shielded from the residents or turned off at night.
That's currently not a condition of approval. You could potentially condition something like that, that all signage that face the residential units be turned off at a certain point in time. Standard commercial lighting is kind of the either the channel cut letters, which are illuminated, or the box lighting, which is illuminated as well. So both of those include some sort of illumination that shines out through the sign itself.
Thank you.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yeah, my question is the access in and out of the site has always, if my understanding is the original approval, the access is off of Bliss or Cashin?
That's correct, and the map that recorded as part of the development actually includes a access restriction off of El Camino Real and Santa Barbara for the commercial development, simply because of the acceleration and deceleration lanes that were part of the traffic mitigation, which included both mitigating the residential and the commercial portion of the development. There's no safe place based on a traffic study to access the commercial development otherwise.
Okay, so regardless of what comes in here, the access will be those off of those two streets. There's no other way around it.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Any other for staff? Okay. Could I have, let's see, Mr. Courtney possibly or someone?
Chris? Yes.
Welcome back.
I have a question to Chris.
Pardon?
I have a question.
Okay.
For Chris.
Commissioner Benz, go ahead.
Chris, on that lights on your signage, your tower signage, is it the company's intent to turn that off or to have reduced lighting for after hours as opposed to having bright lights?
If just on.
pushing the button.
We get a technical break.
Referring to the signage on the tower closest to the intersection?
Yes.
Yes. Is it lighted, and if so, is it going to be regulated in any way?
Yeah, it's a typical internally illuminated channel type sign. I do believe that it could be worked out where that sign would be turned off when the business is after hours.
Thank you.
The sign would be on during business hours.
Thank you.
Commissioner Schmidt, did you have a question?
Yes, please. I have questions about the participation in the maintenance agreements for the streets. Chris, are you able to answer those?
No, I will have to defer to Mr. Bob Rowland.
Thank you, Bob. No problem. Has there been any discussion about how much you would be contributing and how that's going to be determined?
No, at this point, since we haven't got beyond this point, that nothing of that has been discussed. It certainly would be before building permits are issued or a certificate of occupancy. We don't, at this point, don't know what the cost factors are from the homeowners association, but we certainly we know we need to enter into that agreement, and as it is a condition of approval, we would have to do it before everything went further.
So you have no idea about how much of a percentage you would go?
No.
Would it be strictly based on the trips created by the center, or are you willing to go above and beyond that and maybe contribute more than something based on numbers?
Well, we've already gone above and beyond, so we probably won't stop here. Typically, these kind of things go in based on square footage and or trips, mm-hmm. or, you know, and cost factors, how many other people are contributing, et cetera. We understand, and I just don't know what the formulas are, but there are formulas that can be imposed, and I guess this goes to the legal department. It goes to attorneys, and at that point, I step back.
Okay, thank you.
But we understand we need to, and we will.
Can I ask a question of staff?
No, we'll get back to staff here in a minute. I have a question for Mr. Rowland. Could you give us an idea of what actually is going to take place in that open outdoor area? What kind of activities? Is it just storage? Are there repairs? What goes on?
Yeah, typically they went through a list of some of the items that are out there, fencing, these other compressors, things like that, that people will purchase and are typically a larger item than going in and picking up a shirt off the clothing section, which we didn't discuss that either. And some of the stores have jewelry areas and saddles and things like that. But this area is designed so somebody can come in with their vehicle and pick up, and it can be loaded into their vehicle in this yard, and then they can drive away. And that's why they have the open air. So they typically have these larger items for ease of loading and not maneuvering in and around the store. As far as repairs, I have to be honest. I'm not in part of the operations. We're the developer. Mm-hmm. Tractor is the tenant. I don't really know, but they have a store in what's the closest one here? Probably not till Gilroy or Turlock has one. You can take a look, but no. And I don't think any of the operations are onerous as far as noise. I mean, this is right on the side of El Camino, which there's a traffic flow that creates noise as well. So. It's typically for the ease of loading is why they have this kind of outdoor.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else have any questions? Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Commissioner Schmidt, you wanted to address staff?
Yes, staff. I was just going to follow up on my discussion with the developer about the participation in the maintenance of the roads. Do we have any, as a city, any type of formula that we follow? Would it be based on the number of trips that are in the project and how it compares to the residential use or anything like that?
We don't have a city standard formula. Generally, they're created by a team of attorneys or something of that nature where they come to an agreement, and it's either based on trips or square footage, just depending on the nature of the two projects that are the two portions that are coming together on the agreement. So there's no city standard formula.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Sturdivant?
Just a question about the traffic study that was originally done when this project was originally approved. Was it seen about trucks going in and out, about the islands? And so I went to the site, but I didn't pay that close attention. So maybe you could help me out with that.
There are some islands there. They were actually shortened, I believe, during the construction phase of Dove Creek to allow for some additional sort of wiggle room entering there. The truck turns were analyzed as part of both the original Dove Creek development, and then they were also shown and analyzed as part of this amendment application by our engineering plan checker. And so we do believe that those truck turning diagrams are accurate and correct.
Thank you.
Not yet. Not until someone asks a question, it needs to be answered.
Okay. All right. What I'd like to do at this time, before we start our deliberation, is take a 10-minute break. That would be agreeable to everyone. Thank you. Mr. Rowland, before I close the comment period, I'd like to ask you a question, please. And you may or may not have the answer. With using the outside display area, do those displays stay up at night, or are they taken in and brought out the next morning?
No, typically, what they store there, it's stored there. To the point they're sold, but the Tractor did make one of the people from Tractor, the head guy, made it a point to tell me these things are not stored above the fence line, but they are. This is their place of reside until they are moved out and purchased.
Okay. Thank you very much. With that, I'll close the public portion of the meeting. Okay, bring it back to the commission. And move on with some deliberation here. Before we do that, I would like to ask our Mr. Athey if he would give us a kind of a recap on the traffic aspects for this particular.
Sure. Is there
project.
Is there a particular portion you'd like to know or hear about?
The turning, the ingress and egress, mostly the ingress at from El Camino onto, I think it's Cashin, because several of the homeowners have indicated that they wipe out they have to drive over the. Center the little divider that's there, and I'm just curious if what size vehicles in that can be accommodated. What was taken into consideration in that area? Because traffic seems to be one of the issues, and not only as it applies to safety and the serviceability and the noise aspects. So I'd like to see us address, talk about it a little bit.
Okay, David Athey, Public Works. I've looked at the original grading plans for the site, and those grading plans and the off-site improvements, which include Santa Barbara Road and El Camino Real, which fronts this property and the entire Dove Creek property, This entrance, Cashin Street, was designed for left turn movements into the into Cashin Street off of El Camino Real. So that would be a truck. That would be a truck going northbound on El Camino Real. Now, I heard tonight that maybe someone else had taken a 65-foot tractor trailer out there and didn't make it. I've heard that comment, and I think that it would maybe be a good condition. It could be a condition to have Tractor Supply bring one of their trucks out and see if they can make it. And if it can't, they could modify that front median so that trucks could get into the center, because it is supposed to be designed so trucks can enter the center.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Anything? Now, as far as there was some comments made relative to believe that the commercial entrance was originally designed for Bliss. Okay, is that correct, or am I under a laboring under an illusion?
Well, there is an access off Bliss that cars could take, or small pickup trucks.
Right, right.
But the main access to the site, I believe, is conditioned to be on off of El Camino Real onto Cashin.
Okay, very good.
And I believe the applicant showed the turning movements.
Yep.
On that route.
Very good. I just wanted to reconfirm. Thank you. Commissioner Benz, did you have any other additional comments in the traffic arena that would be pertinent?
Well, I do have the traffic study here. This hasn't been mentioned, but I could at least mention that the condominium townhouse, which are 143 units, the traffic study says that they will generate 838 trips a day, which represents 17.63% of the trips. The single-family dwelling units are 140 units, and they will represent 1,339 daily trips. And the shopping center will generate 2,575 daily trips for a total of 4,752. The shopping center represents 54.18% of the traffic. The single-family dwelling units represents 28.18%. If you combine the single-family units with the condominiums, those two classifications represents 45.81% of the daily trips. So that was additional information that is available. The report is quite lengthy. There's mitigation measures, but the project was approved as being capable of handling this traffic. And so, therefore, there's nothing been presented tonight that represents that the traffic study is in error.
Okay, so we're generally in agreement that the traffic study has been adequate to accommodate. At this stage, I'd like to start the discussion and pick an area, whether it be signage, whether it be outdoor displays. Does anybody want to start, have any opinion on any conditions that they'd like to see in order for approval or denial? Commissioner Schmidt?
One of my concerns is the maintenance of the streets and of the driving areas. When I spoke to the developer about it, he made the comment that the project has already gone above and beyond in a lot of the areas, and obviously that's true. And so I guess my only comment would be a recommendation as you look at participation in the maintenance agreement that you look at that above and beyond there. And you know, Commissioner Benz was just pointing out that roughly, you know, a little more than 50% of the impacts are associated to the commercial area. So it seems to me that a minimum of your participation would be around that amount, if not higher. But I would just consider that, and I think it would be very helpful in dealing with the neighbors. And that's the only comment I have.
Okay. Commissioner Sturdivant?
The things that, you know, in reading through all of this and listening to the comments, it seems that the architects have done an outstanding job and them, and also the owner of Tractor Supply. There was a correspondence between the homeowners and the owner, and the owner and the Tractor Supply people. They went back and forth with letters, and it seemed like the concerns were met or being tried very hard to be met by everything that's being done here. And just for clarification, we had received a thing here from a Dick Ham, who is also, he says he is the Brook Street, he's the manager of the remaining residential lots of Dove Creek. And, you know, according to this letter, he wanted some mitigation points to be done, and actually they have been met, or they are going to be met if we approve this. So apparently from this letter, he's not against it. So just for clarification. What struck me about the things that if we do approve this that I would like to see is I would like to see there being, at the onset when the landscaping is done, I'd like to see possibly more mature, larger shrubs being put in, something that would accelerate the screening, because I certainly can understand that, you know, it's a deviation from what was agreed upon, but if it can be done architecturally and landscaping-wise and get things in there to help screen and to mitigate, then I'd like to see that. I'd also like to see the lighted sign. I'd like to see that dim at night or turn off at night. I'd like to see there be no any kind of lighting or glare from the site to for the residences. And also, I don't know how to word it, but when it comes to the trucks going in and out and any kind of modifications necessary for ingress and egress for the trucks and those kind of things, I don't know if that would be the Tractor Supply Company's responsibility or financial. Once they do have a truck go in and out, if there's issues or problems, I don't know quite how to state that. So,
okay,
those are the three things.
We'll work our way towards that.
Okay. Thank you.
Might just as well, Commissioner Marino.
I have those same three conditions, as well as the limiting the deliveries between the 8 a.m. and 5 p.m., which it seems that the applicant is willing to do, and that's something that the residents are requesting. And so if they're together on that, I would say we could go ahead and condition that as well. And, you know, along the idea with the plants, is as mature as feasible for planting, so that you do have that screening sooner rather than later. Thank you.
Any other comments? Well, while you're thinking about it, I'll interject a couple. The signage is, I think I'd like to see, if the light is not turned off at night on the Tractor Supply, that it would be utilized LED-type lighting, which would be a much more muted type of lighting that would have a minimum amount of pollution to it. Because I do think the nighttime lighting could be an issue. Warren, did we have anything specific to commercial CC&Rs, or is this something we can condition at this point in time?
Well, currently, I don't believe there are any CCNRs for the commercial area. Right now, we just have a single parcel. Typically, the CCNRs would be established when there was a subdivision that created multiple parcels in the commercial site to make sure they were all coordinated. So at this point, it doesn't appear we need one since we just have a single owner for the entire property.
But there was, as I recall, when reading, there was and some comment about that they would be willing to do something of that nature in order to maintain the look and feel of the center.
I think the correct mechanism for that might be just sort of a deed notification or deed restriction or covenant recorded against the property. That could basically just say, please be aware this is part of a master plan of development, that maintenance of the landscaping, parking, and buildings as design is required. And staff generally draws up those documents for a variety of things, and that would be could be recorded against the property and would show up at any title searches as notification for any future property owners of their responsibilities.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion? Commissioner Calamarino?
First of all, I want to say that I share in the concerns that were just expressed about the more mature shrubs, controlling the lighting at night, ideally having LED lighting, looking closely at this truck traffic, especially as things evolve. And then making sure that the deliveries are going to be limited to business hours. I think that's already in there. I also want to commend everybody who's been involved in this process. Democracy's been at work here quite impressively, actually, with the residents getting involved, expressing their concerns, with a public meeting where those concerns were aired, with the developer, the architect participating and coming back and trying to meet some of those concerns, and with the staff putting together a report with conditions designed to address many of those concerns. And sitting here, it's hard not to be sympathetic with every thing I've heard said by the residents. I know any of us in your situation would be wary, would be watching very closely what's going in here, how it's going in, and how it's going to affect your very upscale development. The first reaction I had to this when I heard about Tractor Supply going in at Dove Creek was that it seemed incongruous to me. Then as I learned more about Tractor Supply and the details of this, I saw that this could fit. But some of the concerns that I heard expressed related to an issue of whether this is a compatible use, in a sense, and that's really not before the Planning Commission tonight. We don't have the right or the power to decide whether this project should or should not go based on whether it's a compatible use. It is an allowed use. That's a reality. And there are a bunch of allowed uses here, and when you all bought at Dove Creek, you were, you know, in effect, accepting those allowed uses. Now, as a lawyer myself, I'm not going to sit here and say that your lawyer should have read every one of them out to you, but in fact, you know, this is a listed allowed use, farm equipment and supplies, and the only question then is whether the outdoor component is something that is disqualifying. Now, in looking down the list of allowed uses, it's hard to imagine any that would be totally non-controversial. Building materials and hardware, that's another indoor-only use, but that's a possibility. You could have had temporary or seasonal sales, light repair services, eating and drinking places, horticultural specialties,
All of those could have involved outdoor components because there's no limitation. Could even have had a funeral service there, hotels, motels, fuel and ice dealers, temporary events. So it may not come as much of a consolation to think that it could have been worse, but it could have been worse. And Tractor Supply is trying to make this work. I think that's something that you can't always be guaranteed is going to happen. They're putting in a project that is designed to conform as closely as possible to the character of your community. And hopefully that'll go a long way toward allaying your concerns. And none of this, as I say, I'm sure we all sympathize very much with your concerns. But I think a lot of them arise out of the fact that you're going to have a commercial operation right there. But that was known from the beginning. And in a sense, it will be up to you to police it, to make sure this thing conforms to the conditions that are being imposed now, to the representations that Tractor Supply is making. If those are met, it looks like this project is going to fit in. But again, it'll be up to the residents to a certain extent to keep an eye on that. In any event, with the conditions that have been presented, you know, it looks to me like this project has a lot going for it, and it's a situation right now where the city needs sales tax revenues, and Tractor Supply is here, and they're going to try to accommodate as best they can. So my inclination is to favor this project.
Okay. Commissioner Ward?
Thank you. I just want to echo Commissioner Sturdivant's concerns about making sure that the landscape is done professionally and it's done well and is put in a timely manner. I'd like to echo some of the comments my fellow commissioner made. I'm not a lawyer, but I just want to share with you, when I first looked at this, I thought, oh my gosh, this is just totally inappropriate because it's going to absolutely wipe out forever any opportunity for any sort of neighborhood commercial organizations to come in there. And I just interpreted this that this whole area was going to be this Tractor Supply place. But after I dug into it and looked at it, I came to realize that, in my mind, I firmly believe that this is going to enhance and bring on in a lot quicker time the type of commercial operations that everybody envisioned was going to be at that corner. This is going to be a first-class anchor tenant, and anchor tenants just don't drop out of the sky nowadays. And I'm convinced that these people, this corporation, will do it right. And we're all here to make sure that they do it right. And I'm confident that the staff is going to structure this so that when it's built, it's going to look like that or better. And for those reasons, I'm inclined to approve this project with the stipulations that were mentioned earlier.
And before we get to a motion, I'd also like to comment on the project because I, too, have been sympathetic. I know a couple of people that live there and in the Dove Creek area. I've been out there several times. It's amazing I think what Tractor Supply has done, this is the first, I've been doing this now for 3 years, and corporations typically have their own, you know, box or whatever, and their logo and image that they want to put down, and these people have stepped up in an attempt to comply and maintain the look and feel in the design. Now, I do have one concern, and that's with the see-through nature of the wrought iron. I don't know exactly how to mitigate that. Maybe since it's black wrought iron, that there's some sort of a black screening, non-see-through, something that would accept wind that could be put up on the inside of that. Because it is definitely going to be visible, and as people walk around. And it's not the people that are coming there to shop necessarily that I have a concern with. It's the neighbors that are going to be walking through there and the other businesses that will eventually come because there is an anchor. So I don't know. I'm looking to staff for a little help in this, having more experience than, you know, us on the commission is to... Maybe what's, you know, something that might be available that could satisfy that kind of a mitigation.
You could do something like a shade cloth on the opposite side. Those are fairly, they're a little bit see-through. They let the wind through, but they tend to be a visual block. I know there was mention of planting vines along there so that it became sort of a green screen. So I think there are a number of options if you were concerned about that transparency.
Yeah, I would like to see something conditioned along those lines. And I think the addition of, some vines would definitely be an asset to that, which would make it a more pleasant type of environment, especially since you're going to have the outdoor displays, that's the permanent nature of those displays out there.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes.
Now, Kelly, when you explained the screening of that area, there was a 3-foot block wall, correct?
Right.
And then the wrought iron fence was on top of the wall? And then in front of the wall, there was landscaping?
That's correct. There's a landscape planter facing this side, and then this side here. So there's not really a planter facing the sidewalk display areas, but there's a landscape planter here and here, and then additional landscaping around this perimeter here.
And not seeing exactly where your lighting is that landscaping is, say, on the north. The north-facing side, would that be a continuous landscaping in front of that wall?
It's continuous except for where the gates allow people to exit.
For the circulation to go through.
Right. Correct.
It seems to me that, you know, the additional element of the screening, once the landscaping establishes itself, you have a 3-foot wall. Not everything is going to be below that wall, but it's going to protect some of the stuff from being visible. And then once it grows through, and then once you put the material up there, I mean, the wear and tear on that, I mean, it falls apart after, you know, weathers, the sun hits it, and those type of things. I think that the suggestions that they, or the mitigations that the applicant has put forward seem very satisfactory to me.
I don't totally agree with... I think there's material out there. I use some in my own place. I forget what it's called. But there is stuff that could be put up there at least. Because looking at the plan, I do not see a lot of There aren't a lot of planters, so there isn't going to be anything. The only thing that's going to impact the visual nature is stacked either outside displays of some sort or other, whether it be firewood or fertilizer or, you know, whatever kind of thing. Commissioner Marino, you wanted?
I would be in more inclined to say that, you know, rather than putting a specific condition, just to, you know, that staff and the applicant work together, because, you know, the applicant is very willing to, you know, again, as we're all saying, bending over backwards to make this thing work. And I think that if, you know, more screening or things are required with plants, I think they're willing to work on that. And so maybe if they and staff kind of figure out what's the best way to landscape this so that it's visually appealing and it creates a screen, we can leave that up to them without us talking about types of material
well,
and things
exactly.
like that.
No, I understand. But I would like to see it conditioned that the applicant work with staff to make the best effort to minimize the amount of the see-through nature of the wrought iron fence.
And I can agree with that.
Yeah. Okay, does somebody want to attempt a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I would like to make a motion to adopt a resolution PC 2009-0009 recommending that the City Council introduce an ordinance for first reading amending zoning code text for plan development number 12, zone change 2008-0151. To allow outdoor sales for farm equipment and supply establishments based on findings, and adopt a resolution PC 2009-0010 recommending that the City Council adopt amendments to Conditional Use Permit 2003-0099 related to the Commercial Center Master Plan and Development based on findings and subject to conditions of approval with the additional conditions as outlined by the Planning Commission, that vines be considered on the trellis, that the wrought iron fence have some better screening, that the landscaping be made with more mature plants to guarantee their survival, that the lighted TSC sign would be turned off at night or muted, and that the maintenance on land on the landscaping would be required in the CCNRs.
Can I just clarify a couple things? The lighted TSC sign, are you talking only about the one that's facing the residential portion
the
of development? So the one facing El Camino Real?
Yeah. Huh.
So the one facing the inside of the parking lot can stay on?
The one facing the residence.
Will be turned off.
Yeah, will be turned off.
And the one on the tower facing El Camino Real will stay on or be turned? Okay.
With the muted?
Said it's either turned off or muted.
Okay. Okay.
And I think there's more.
We've got something else on a road maintenance agreement.
I believe that's already in the
That's already in there. So okay. Is the limiting of delivery times.
Okay.
That's in there in this, as a
yes.
condition?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Great.
The delivery times is not currently a condition, so if you wanted to add it, now would be the time.
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't think it was. I thought, did it?
Put it in then.
Okay.
Limiting the delivery times to the hours stated by TSC.
8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday. And I just wanted to clarify the CCNRs, that's the deed notification, so I don't want to title them CCNRs because those kind of do different things, but...
Okay.
We'll do the deed notification. Okay.
Right.
Put it in whatever agreement that you need to put it into.
There is one more thing.
And there's one more item.
There was the issue that we wanted TSC to be out there with a truck and see can they make it, and if not, that whatever changes need to be made so that you know the truck can go in, that they would be responsible and do that.
I think we already have testimony that our assistant city engineer has indicated that that the egress and ingress is adequate for what's proposed at the site.
He had, though, commented that possibly that if it didn't work, that there could be some modification of the median to, if there was some obstructions or if it was occurring. And I think that the that could be to at least check that
condition
out and see if it works out. If it works, and fine. If
then
it doesn't,
nothing to
then
do.
Make some change. I do have just a kind of a comment about the delivery from 8 to 5. Where I live, I mean, there are some restrictions on that. But sometimes the trucks arrive when they arrive, sometimes at 4 in the morning. And they don't make the delivery or the drop-off until 8 o'clock, but they're parked out there for that period of time until they can make their drop-off at 8 o'clock. And so the truck will be sitting there idling for a couple hours in the morning time sometimes. I mean, I don't know if we can deal with that or not. Again, I would say that sometimes truck drivers, again, it's depending on their driving and what the traffic loads are and where they're going to be, they'll arrive. The doors don't open to 8 o'clock, so they're going to sit there until it does. And I don't know if we can prevent that or not, but just a comment.
No, it's something that we wouldn't have any real control over, to the best of my knowledge.
Okay.
Commissioner Colomarino?
Yes. Could we ask the staff whether there's any way to address that issue? Has that issue arisen before? Is there any precedent for trying to minimize the extent to which trucks are out there idling like that?
I think that if you add this condition limiting the delivery, it's clear that there's a restriction on when deliveries can occur. If, for whatever reason, we have trucks that are sitting there making noise at night, becoming a nuisance, at that point, if we get a report about that, we can follow up. We'll notify the store manager, yep, typically, that he has a problem. We've found that usually these managers are pretty good. They can, you know, contact the suppliers, and they're usually pretty good at dealing with those sorts of issues. So I think if this condition's in there, that's probably enough that we could work with the store if it did ever become a problem.
And to the extent it becomes a problem, you'll find that out from the residents, presumably.
They're usually good at telling us that.
There's no second.
Okay.
Second.
There is now. Suzanne, could we have a roll call, please?
I have a question. Did we add the condition of checking the ingress and egress to the turn? Did we add that?
I think we left that with if there was an issue.
That we don't currently have that on the list.
Okay.
Was that Commissioner Schmidt? Was that what you were talking about?
That it be investigated.
Well, that if something came up that Tractor Supply would then remedy the situation.
Well, I think they would remedy the situation.
Yeah.
That is the bottom line. If it doesn't work, they got to remedy it. Otherwise, they can't put a place in. So,
okay.
And if they try to ignore it, someone can submit a complaint to the planning department, and the planning department would research it and
take whatever appropriate action. Okay, very good.
Okay. Commissioner Benz?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Commissioner Colomarino?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturtevant?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I think these people are going to be watching pretty closely, and they're going to be.
Are we going to continue on here? Adjourn?
Oh. I'm sorry. Okay. Now that I've been reminded that we haven't closed out the meeting, it's time for any commissioner comments and reports.
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
It's come to my attention, and I'm glad to see that David is here. And has to do with the stormwater management plan. There was a discussion at the city council recently doing some work in Morro Bay, and it came to my attention there that the regional board added a condition that the pre-construction analysis for drainage studies be using native soil and vegetation. Particular project that I'm dealing with has asphalt right now, and it's going to be asphalt when it gets done, but the regional board has added this condition that the study be done at that native soil vegetation coefficient, the 0.25 or the 0.2. Is that something that they're going to be considering to do to us too?
You know, I can't say specifically. We have a different regional board case manager for our stormwater pollution prevention. The stormwater management plan. So we know the city staff has recommended and council agreed with that we go with the pre-development, which would be what's existing on the site prior to the applicant submitting plans for redevelopment of the site.
I obviously like to see that, and with that, the way it is in Morro Bay, it substantially increases the size of storage, obviously, and that's a concern. I have a second comment different than that, and it goes with Warren. I had noticed recently that there was some planting of trees using the mitigation fee program. I think it was at Paloma Park. I was driving down Traffic Way near the Lakes Project, and there are several trees along that landscape parkway that have died out.
With the tree funds, that's currently not what we're doing. Those trees there were part of a subdivision project, and I do know that we have lost some. I'll check with the Public Works Department. They're responsible for the maintenance of those trees and find out what their plans are for maintaining those trees, that sort of thing.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Okay. Mr. Frace, do you have a director's report tonight?
Yes. Just a couple things real quick. Your next meeting is March 17th in 2 weeks. Right now we're looking at tree removal, and looks like an amendment to an older use permit for a church, so it should be a little bit easier meeting than the last two you've been through, so we'll get you guys a little break here. Then the following week we have the Planning Commission training down in Anaheim, so we'll add that as a discussion item on the next agenda so we can kind of talk about getting coordinated on which different sessions we're going to go to so we can kind of hit all the high points, hopefully, and coordinate getting down there. I'm also going to have the finance director come and just give us kind of a briefing on how we're going to deal with expenses and that sort of thing. Obviously, travel and expenses is a hot political issue, and we want to be as careful as possible. And there's a lot of rules that if you haven't worked for a government agency before, you wouldn't be aware of. So I want to make sure everybody kind of understands how the process works correctly. And then I also just want to let the commission know that if you have any questions about your staff reports or any questions on a project beforehand, feel free to just email or call me or Kelly or Callie. We're here to help you. I think most of the commissioners know that, but I want to just make sure that everybody understands, even if it's up to the last minute, give us a call or whatever. We're here to try to help you guys out as much as possible. And with that...
And to follow up on that, Warren,
if you've got something that you want to bring up in that, it's always preferable to give staff a heads up kind of thing. So,
thank you. That concludes my report.
Thank you. With that, we're adjourned.